Hi there, my name is Caleb Wade. Welcome to Crime Demented, where we talk about whatever we want, and no one can really stop us. Or, well, me today. This is a solo episode. Let's talk about death, shall we? Now, I know what you're thinking. Actually, I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not a telepath. I have nice emotional intuition, but I'm not a telepath. But you may be thinking, you out there listening, Caleb, what do you mean talking about death? Are you doing this because it's spooky? Because it's Halloween month? Well, technically it's Pride Month 2, Electric Spookaloo. But I got to thinking after, you know, I watched a few movies very recently. Mainly The Crow, classic with Brandon Lee, and Coco. And, you know, It's an interesting thing, death. Some people venerate it. Sorry, I had to close out a program there. I'm not editing this. It's just going to be me rambling as much as I can. Death has been celebrated in multiple cultures. It's been feared. It's a cause of sadness and anxiety for me, because if I'm going to be real, me dying doesn't bother me, or me dying at some point later on down the line doesn't bother me, but the people I love dying bothers me much more, because frankly, one of my greatest fears is being alone, like fully, completely alone, not alone in my home with my pupper, who is now lying on the floor. It's being alone in the sense that everyone around me has left. Everyone is gone. And I am left with the aftermath. And it's not a cheerful thought. So I got to thinking after watching these two fantastic movies, The Crow and Coco. I thought, well, why don't I talk about a little bit about death and my thoughts on it and how it's represented in media. And you're just like, oh God, you're still with this podcast thing? My God, Caleb, ugh. Just guest star on your friend's podcast, it's fine. To which I say, I'm trying so hard to guest star on the Kentucky Kernels of Truth. So, let's talk about The Crow for a second. The Crow is a movie adaptation of a graphic novel created by a gentleman, I forget the name, I'm sorry, I'm not that big of a fan of The Crow, and by big of a fan, I mean I'm not I haven't deep dived into any of the lore or anything. I just know that one of the people resurrected by the mystical crow was gay once. I'm like, yay me, yay for my community. But The Crow is a story about how these two lovers, on the night before they get married on Halloween, I thought it was relevant, They are brutally attacked and killed. And one rises from the grave to enact vengeance 1 year later after the events. He is an avatar of revenge, of pain, of sorrow. And his only motivation is that if I do this, I can go back to my love. Now, it's an interesting thought, being revived by this mystical spirit only for the course of vengeance, or rather justice. Justice and vengeance can really go hand in hand sometimes. One of the best examples of that was Dragon Age 2, or rather Dragon Age Origins, where there was a spirit of, spoiler, there was this DLC where you meet two characters, Anders, who was a mage of I believe the Circle at the time, and a spirit of justice. Come Dragon Age 2, you find out that Anders and Justice inhabit Anders' body, but due to your friendship or rivalry with him, with Anders, you can turn Justice into a paragon of virtue, of the virtue of justice, or you can turn him into a spirit of vengeance, which is not great. Considering that Anders is drawing from Justice's powers for certain things that we're not going to talk about because it breaks my heart. The whole idea of The Crow is fantastic. It's a wonderful movie. But the idea of being taken from your afterlife or being denied an afterlife until justice is served is kind of a complex one for me. It's more so the fact that not only do I have to live again, live without the person I love, and live for a moment so I can enact justice and revenge, but I'm so powered by that anger, that misfortune, that I have no room for anything else, or a character has no room for anything else. It's interesting to explore, but I feel like it should be explored in a limited space, because we always have the revenge story of my wife being killed and I have to honor my wife. My wife. Listen to the Beto cast, everybody. It's fantastic. But I don't know how to word this. The trope of man and woman get in danger, woman get killed, man must honor woman is very problematic, because why is it that the woman gets fridged or has to be harmed to motivate the male character? And especially when you don't see the woman at all in the story, you don't get a moment to learn her character, learn what she wanted to do, learn who she was as a character, because, oh no, she's dead already. Sorry, boo, she's dead. And The Crow, all this to say, The Crow's a fantastic movie. It can't rain all the time. I'm sorry, Lance. And, you know, I would watch it again for Halloween and whatnot. But that got me thinking about death in general. Like, do you fear it? Do you revere it? Do you deny it in media? And that got me thinking about some certain themes when I watched Coco. This is not structured in the slightest, if you cannot tell. This is me rambling in front of a microphone about death and media. With Coco, it's about this young boy who wants to be a musician, but his family is like, no, one of your progenitors, your ancestors, left the family because of music, and since then, no music is allowed in our family. We are shoemakers, and we are shoemakers alone. And the boy, Miguel, is just like, no, I want to find someone's blessing. So, and he goes on this quest thinking who he needs the blessing from is his family because of the guitar. And it's a good movie, even if you call it, where you predict what goes on within like the first 30 minutes of the movie. But the fact that diverging from death as a source of denying it, or denying it to get what justice or revenge that you need, the justice or right thing to do in Coco is to have someone's memory of you not be forgotten. Because in the land of the dead, if your picture within that culture is not placed on their shrine for Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead, if people's memories fade and they don't remember you, you slowly die, and it's the final death in the land of the dead. We all want to be remembered. We all want to be remembered by someone, even if we haven't done anything great with our lives. The idea that if you are lasting on in this spiritual afterlife, hoping that someone still remembers you, maybe puts your photo up so you can visit them every single year, just one day a year, and just be with them, be with your family, be with your loved ones, and that doesn't happen, it's incredibly sad. So, contrasting the Crow's point of denying death and making sure that justice is replayed for someone who has not been forgotten yet by the people that they loved, Coco explores the idea, well, what happens if you are forgotten? And what importance is it to keep your loved ones, no matter how old they were or how long you knew them, strong in your mind, or they're strong in your family's minds, so that they can be happy visiting you? I'm going to be honest, it kind of made me think, Coco did, not the girl. Coco made me think of my grandmother, who passed away a few years ago. And I always get the date wrong because I can't. Oh, boy. This is going to get a bit sad, and I apologize, but my grandmother was a firecracker. She always had an opinion. She always had her favorite treat, chocolate-covered raisins, and she always had to watch any of Tyler Perry's films on repeat. It was just simple when it was simpler when she found out to do it herself, and she just like, give me that remote. But I knew her my entire life, well, growing up until she passed, and it was to the point where she was forgetting my name. She called me by her son's names or someone else's name or my brother's name. And at the time, it really offended me because I'm like, I'm not any of those people. I'm me. Why can't you remember my name? Even when she could name my brother with startling accuracy and not mess up his name. And it was to a point where I was doing everything I can with her, like taking care of her, cleaning her, all that jazz, because she couldn't walk very well. And it was to the point when I saw her in the hospice that we had to put her in, or the family chose to put her in, at the request of the hospital, she did not speak to me because she couldn't, due to whatever infection or sickness, whatever happened to her. I still don't know to this day, and I don't want to know. But I hate to think of the fact that her last thoughts of me, she couldn't say. And I slowly remember every little thing, but sometimes something slips. You know, memory changes, memory fades. And Coco reminded me that, oh my God, what if I forget her? What if I forget this woman that was so full of life, and I never thought she was going to die. I never thought she was going to pass. I knew that she was stronger than this, but time and death comes for all of us. And I was kind of left alone in that hospice room with her while my brother and mom kind of took care of some other things. And I just remember screaming my lungs out and crying because I was left alone with the last vestige of a woman that was just there. And it brought to mind remembering, speaking of death and media and whatnot, I'm sorry I'm not prepared, but there is this quote that I will share with you guys. It is from, though problematic it was, it's from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's from the episode of season 5. Season 5, The Body. It's Anya, who is a human at this point. She was a vengeance demon. She did not understand how death works. And Willow is giving her a hard time because she's asking very insensitive questions. And Willow kind of puts her on blast, saying, it's not okay for you to be saying these things. And Anya says, but I don't understand. I don't understand how this all happens, how we go through this. I mean, I knew her, and then there's just a body. And I don't understand why she just can't get back in it and not be dead anymore. It's stupid. It's mortal and stupid. And Xander's crying and not talking. And I was having fruit punch. And I thought, well, Joyce will never have any more fruit punch. Ever. And she'll never have aches or yawn or brush her hair. Not ever. And no one will explain to me why. And looking back at that moment where I was left in that room, I was screaming, I'm crying. I said, no, you can't leave me. You can't leave us right now. You can't leave me without saying something. You gotta remember me. You gotta hold on. Why is this happening? And let's just say I have a lot of emotions when it comes to death. Do I fear it? Sometimes, when it's shown in media as like this grand angel of death that says, well, you can't stop me. I'm sorry, but you can't stop me. And characters are fighting against him or her or them. However, the angel of death, the personification of the angel of death is identified. And you find that things are futile. And the moral of the story is to hold everyone closer to you, hold everyone close so that when they go, it won't be as painful. Or it'll be more painful because you held on so tight. I'm just like, well, fuck me up, Charmed and Buffy and Coco. It just messed me up. This was supposed to be a podcast about death in media, but it kind of spiraled into my own thoughts about death and my own family life when it comes to death. And sorry for the sidetrack, but I did warn you that there was no structure here. But going back to the original points of both The Crow and Coco and adding in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, with The Crow, the idea was that a violent death that was wrongful of two innocent lovers will lead into revenge. And it was created by the original author, I cannot cite his name at the moment, as a way of grieving, as he and his wife, who had passed, had gotten into a car accident in which he survived and she didn't. And it took years for the other driver to even forgive himself. So this anger, this rage, this resentment was put into a graphic novel that turned into a cult classic movie and a whole lot of other sequels that we don't talk about. Especially one including David Boreanaz. And also it spawned a television series that people loved. With Coco, the main idea is that family is everything. And please remember those who you love, because their memories, your memories of them, shouldn't have to fade. And you should always have them in your heart, especially during a specific day to honor those who have died. With Buffy, there are many ideas where, even though the Slayer's gift is death, death is not something that you can fight sometimes. Sometimes it just happens. And no matter how invincible you are, no matter how strong and superpowered you are, sometimes you just, it just hurts, and you deal with it, because the hardest part of this world is living in it. Or rather, the hardest thing to do in this world is to live in it. And for me, death is something that I try not to fear. But there's always that one moment in almost every day. Not every day, but that one moment that comes by from time to time that thinks, oh God, I'm getting older. My family is getting older. I won't have my family one day. I won't have my mom. I won't have my dad. I maybe won't even have my stepmom. One day, I won't have those people. And I will have to deal. And I just hope that I'm strong enough to let the emotions come, to grieve and mourn properly, not like what I did with my grandmother, but to let it happen. Not let the death happen, but the grieving process happen. And just live. I just hope that living won't be the chore that young me thinks that it is some days. Happy Halloween. Sorry for depressing you guys, but I wanted to discuss something for the Halloween spooktacular episode since I wasn't planning on recording anything, but the thought crossed my mind and, you know, there's some stuff that I need to get out of my chest or get off my chest. Don't worry. I'm going to therapy. I'm going to schedule an appointment soon. I have been dealing with this and I thank you for listening to me. If you made it to this part, congratulations. You just listened to a very short podcast, considering some of my other ones. We will be the Creme Demented podcast will be taking a break for the rest of the year. We will not have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas episode, as I hope to by the next year to upgrade the space so that I can have like soundproofing and whatnot, so it can be more of a podcast space. I've been in work or in talks with some people to start some new podcasts that will be part of this Creme Demented Presents network, I suppose, if I can sort of get this LLC off the ground, if it's actually an LLC. I don't know anything about that. And in hopes, you'll be able to hear my dulcet tones on another podcast like Kentucky Colonels Truth, which I strongly suggest that you follow on Twitter at of Colonels. The title, the rank, not the popcorn. And I don't know if we'll be taking a break for the rest of the week or the rest of the month of October, but I do know that I'm still working on videos of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines for the rest of October. So after October, it'll go back to its regular slot in the scheduling. But until then, we will still have uploads Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. If we don't have a video, I will notify you guys on Twitter, which is at @Creme_Demented. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at @CalebIsBalak. And the Creme Demented show Twitter at @Creme_Demented. We also have a Gmail at askcremedemented@gmail.com. Send in some letters, send in some requests, send in some things that you'd like me to talk about. And, you know, just don't get too political. That's my main thing. Send in some voicemails as well. I will have a link in the description that you can call in with Anchor's lovely little voicemail feature, and you can leave me some tasty little numbers of your dulcet tones that I can put into the episode. So happy Halloween, happy Pride Month to Electric Spookaloo, and I will see you guys next year, or maybe sooner than you think. Bye, guys. Have a happy Halloween, have a happy Thanksgiving, and a merry, merry Christmas, or whatever you celebrate, because I don't judge. Bye. My dog is scratching herself in the background.